These verses that we have read together from Acts chapter 6 speak to us about the man called Stephen, a man whose service early in the church's experience and his martyrdom as a result of his ministry and his preaching for the cause of God and truth has given us a lasting testimony in the church. I don't think anyone can read the story of Stephen without being touched in their heart at the way this faithful man quitted himself in the face of all the trouble that he encountered, the allegations and the opposition and the lies that he faced. But first, before we talk about Stephen, I want to draw your attention to some problems that the church faced in its earliest days. I wonder if some of you younger ones have heard your parents talking about growing pains. You know what growing pains are? See when we're growing up and we're putting on height very quickly and our arms are growing and our legs are growing and our bodies are growing, everything just seems to get that little bit stretched. And sometimes we get pains, and those are called growing pains. They're not serious, they're just part of growing up. The church had growing pains as well. And when all of these people came together and they were working out how the ministry of the church would go forward, we discovered that they needed to organize themselves. And the disciples were probably, the apostles were probably having far too much to do of a practical nature. And they realized that there was trouble in the church between different groups that were speaking against each other. You know, it is the case that the human heart will always find a cause for strife and trouble. That's just the nature that we have. And even in the church, in those halcyon days, in those lovely days, in those early days of the church, following the ascension of the Lord Jesus Christ and the day of Pentecost, it tells us that there were problems there too. So no church is perfect. No church is perfect. Even the church that had all the apostles in it still had some troubles. And it's worth us remembering that. Until we get to glory, there will be problems even amongst the Lord's people. So the apostles wisely appointed a number of deacons. And these were men that were helpers to the apostles. They were qualified to serve the church in practical matters, and that freed the apostles to concentrate on their ministry, on the preaching of the gospel and of prayer. These men were of good reputation. Seven of them were chosen. And the key qualification that they had was that they were believers in the Lord Jesus. It's no use having a leadership in a church that isn't saved, that isn't born again, that isn't a believer. And here, these people were believers. They were filled with the Holy Ghost. They were experienced men, they were able men, and they were willing to serve the church. And many churches today still retain this office of deacons, men who will help support the ministry and the preaching of the gospel in the church. And this church, this little church here, Sovereign Grace Church in Great Falls, we have three deacons. The church in Jerusalem had seven, we have three. And these men, they're Larry at the back, and Mitch down here, and Tim, who's not here today. These men are the deacons in the church, and they are helpers and supporters of the ministry of the church. They help to manage the affairs of the local church in this place. And another interesting fact about the story that we have here in Acts chapter 6 is that at this time, there were many of the priests converted and joined the church. These were the very people that were opposed to the Lord Jesus Christ during his ministry. And yet it seems as if the grace of God started to make inroads even amongst the religious people of that day. Not all of them by any means. And we see that there was people who were opposed to Stephen. But some of the priests at least heard the gospel and believed. And I think that that's interesting for us to note. You know, the gospel, the grace of God, can reach to the most unlikely people. That's worth remembering. That's worth knowing. You might have people that you're friendly with, or people at school, or people that you know, and you think to yourself, that is such a bad person. That is such an awful person. That is such a person that I don't want to spend any time with. That person couldn't be a Christian. You know what? That is the wonder of the powerful grace of God, that it can reach to the uttermost. The Apostle Paul, we're going to encounter him in a few weeks, but the Apostle Paul calls himself the chief of sinners, and the Lord's grace can reach to anyone. Here we encounter Stephen. And in verse 8, we are told that Stephen was a particularly able man. He was a preacher, he was a witness, and it seems as if the Jews from a number of synagogues, a number of different churches, if you like, a number of different gatherings of the religious people, got their best men to come and argue with him, to come and debate with him, to come and contradict him on the gospel that he preached. And they disputed with him about theology, about Jesus. They asked him what authority he had to be a speaker, what authority he had to do the miracles that he was able to do. And it seems that they argued with him on the very same subjects as they had argued with the Lord Jesus Christ about. Men and women are always ready to argue about the gospel. They're not so ready to believe the gospel. But that's what the Lord calls us to. In verse 10, we are told that the people who opposed Stephen were not able to resist his wisdom. He understood the person of Christ. He understood the divinity of Christ. He understood the work of grace and the gospel of Christ. And he spoke with wisdom and with the Holy Spirit, and they were not able to contradict him. So, what do you do when somebody beats you at an argument? Well, you don't just accept their argument. None of these people could do that. And so they opposed Stephen in another way. They attacked his person. They trapped him. They caught him. They put him in prison. They took him before the council. And they made accusations. They deviously accused Stephen of blasphemy and speaking against the religion and the law. Blasphemy is really speaking about God. And it seems as if they were opposing Stephen for his claims about the divinity of the Lord Jesus Christ. They told lies about Stephen. They stirred up the crowds against him. They arrested him and took him before the council. They brought more false witnesses against him. I wonder where they got all these false witnesses from. There seemed to be a lot of them in Jerusalem. And they made up deceitful, dishonest stories about this faithful man. I suspect that Saul of Tarsus, the man who subsequently became the Apostle Paul, was one of the leading opponents against Stephen at this time. We're not told exactly that in as many words, but we are told that there were people there from Cilicia, which is where Tarsus was. And so Saul of Tarsus would have been there in the synagogue of Cilicia. And it is very likely that Saul of Tarsus opposed Stephen at this time. They expected him to defend himself before the council. They expected him to be ashamed at all the things that they were saying against him, or at least afraid because they knew that they had power against him, to show some kind of reaction to the serious situation that he was in. The Sanhedrin, the council of the Jews, they listened to all of these false allegations against Stephen, and then they turned and they looked at Stephen to see what he was going to say and do. Every eye in the council was upon Stephen. What would he say? But then the strangest thing happened. Without saying a word, Stephen's face began to change. His face began to change. His countenance altered. He wasn't afraid. He was calm. He wasn't angry. He was quiet and he was composed. He wasn't aggressive. He simply stood and he glowed. He glowed. His face looked like the face of an angel. When all the people around about him were shouting and accusing and lying and arguing, Stephen stood still and he looked like an angel. For a moment, everyone stopped talking and looked at him in amazement. They had power of life or death over Stephen, or they thought they had. But he didn't care. It seemed as if he was already being prepared for the presence of his Savior. He was already anticipating what it would be like to enter into his glorious home, his glorious rest, and see the Savior. And that calmness that Stephen displayed is the calmness and the confidence of those who trust in Christ. The testimony of the Lord with Stephen, the safety and the security of his soul, the fact that he trusted and was assured of the salvation that he possessed, blessed Stephen as he waited there to hear the decision of the council. Soon Stephen would have an opportunity to speak and to defend himself, and his words would confirm that he was a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ and that he trusted his Lord and Savior. That testimony is for another day. But let us remember this man Stephen and the glowing face of the angel that he exhibited as these people argued against him. Amen.